Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Throw a step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Over the shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. I mean, we've been a lot of Celtics for the first hour of Gasper and Murray, but this is officially the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Noon, Saturdays. Typically this time of year, these last few years, we're not doing it, but we are continuing to do it because the Celtics continue to play up one game to none in the NBA Finals over the Golden State Warriors with the 120-108 win over Golden State Thursday night. A big night for Jaylen Brown. I thought that he was the catalyst in that big fourth quarter. Al Horford, again, huge too, 6 3-pointers, good night for Derek White and others, some of those role players, but I think that Jaylen Brown was the catalyst. After a back-and-forth first half, Celtics led at halftime. Then it all went to hell in the third quarter. It's like, oh, Jesus, they're not going to be able to keep up with this team. And then, again, just hit with a tidal wave of offense in the fourth quarter. I said yesterday, and we have B-Rob, Brian Rob of Mass Live covering the Celtics, thankfully, with us. Waiting to hear from Gasper. I guess he's having some technical issues out in San Francisco. Is that still the case there, B-Rob? We're waiting.
Yes, hopefully they'll be rectified shortly here.
Oh, good. You know, early on, Steph Curry was Steph Curry. You know, a lot of the threes that he hit, there's only so much he can do. That's Steph Curry, greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. There were a few of them, though. There wasn't anyone in a Celtics uniform within 5-10 feet of him. And it was making me crazy watching this. And it's like, isn't this the one guy you should try to maybe double, make his night miserable? But again, with the way that game played out, I started to think, and I said this yesterday, and I got looked at like I needed to be put in a rubber room by Mike and Tony, letting Steph Curry get his, to an extent, I tend to think that's their game plan. That's Ime Udoka's game plan. And yes, they're going to defend him. But I also do think that maybe they baited him or tried to bait him into thinking that some of those shots he took were going to be easy open looks. But all the while, throughout the duration of the game, when he's out there, they're going to try to run him ragged until he gets to that open spot. Because I do think in that fourth quarter that Curry was gassed. And, yeah, you know, sure, you could make a case that it's like, well, with the Celtics hitting at the rate that they were hitting, how can you not be demoralized? But I just thought it was an energy thing. Like, he was – excuse me. He had ran so much trying to find that open spot through the first three quarters of the game. Yeah, like, great, he'll get his. But I do think that they're going to try to purposely do that to run him down by the end of it so that he's going to miss some of those shots. And the rest of the Celtics will also hammer down defensively and try to focus on everybody else. Run Curry down, let him get his, get up in the face of everybody else. That's what I think that the game plan is. And you don't think that that's as nuts as Felger and Maz do?
Absolutely not. I think that's just a good... When you have, particularly when you have the personnel you have, Jim, like you have Marcus Smart, you traded for Derek White. Steph Curry has not seen defenders like this all postseason in the Western Conference. Like no one they've faced has had a defense as good as the Celtics here. So you play to your strengths here right now. You have guys that can guard him and just make his life hard, hopefully wear him down in one-on-one situations. And then that way you take away the secondary options from the Warriors and hope we see more fourth quarters like we saw in game one.
Now, I don't want to, you know, discredit, again, some of the play of the role players, specifically Derek White, who has gone from a guy who I literally didn't want shooting the ball because it looked like he was shooting with less than zero confidence, B-Rub, to a guy who's, I mean, he's been on fire these last three games. I think that he and Horford have also got a kind of good thing going on in terms of, like, pick and roll chemistry. What's happened with him? Is it just as simple as it's a confidence thing?
New dad juice?
New dad
energy.
Yeah. My boys can swim. Little pep in your step after that, perhaps. Yeah, no, he's been a different guy after that baby.
So, I mean, it's I'd say maybe some of that. I think, honestly, coming into a new team, kind of figuring it out on the fly midway through the season, he shot like crap. Like, when the Celtics were rolling in the second half of the year, he was terrible with his shooting the whole way. And we know he's not that guy. We know that the Spurs, he's not a great shooter, but certainly he can put him up in a hurry here. And I think finally something clicked with him here, and he feels comfortable in the offense again, and he's himself, and that's someone who can hurt you with the drive and hurt you with the shot and is a nightmare for a team like the Warriors who just doesn't have a lot of good defenders in the backcourt to throw at him.
Yeah, and also the performance of Al Horford. So that was another guy that, you know, I love. I tweeted it at the time. And I think it might be like the most liked tweet I ever put out there. Not trying to blow smoke up Mike Feaster, but it's like, You really don't know. This is like, I'm like, this is the one that goes viral? Really? But I loved pissed dad strength Al Horford. But I think in watching that game, it shows, and you've seen this now a few times with these type of performances from Al Horford during this run, the more rest he gets, the better he is. And the way that this thing is scheduled, outside of games 3 and 4, because there is only that one day in between, right?
You get
Wednesday,
yep.
Friday. You know, he's going to benefit here. Sure, you can make the case for the Warriors as well. That can benefit someone like Klay Thompson. But I looked this up yesterday. Al Horford's played 6 games of 40 minutes or more during this postseason run. In the regular season, twice. And those 2 games couldn't have been spread out further from each other. One in November, the other in April. So, yes, he needs as much rest as possible during this series.
Yeah, I mean, he was even playing these minutes back in his first day with the Celtics.
Right.
Like, back with Brad Stevens. Yeah. Brad Stevens was even trying to keep him under 40 in the playoffs in those spots, I think, in a lot of them. And so, I don't know, Jim, this is a situation now, if they pull this off and he keeps playing like this, he's going to come back next year. You just give him the first half of the season off. You're like, Al, you know what? Go rest.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Take it easy. We'll bring it back when we need you for the playoffs here.
Yeah, and also how they've handled Rob Williams. You know, he looked so... Yeah, I heard Sean Grandy on with Tucker and Rich the other day that him and Max were like, get him off the floor, please, in Game 7. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, he was a straight liability out there on both ends. He was basically on one leg. He was moving, like I said a few times now, he was moving like a log. It was awful. And so, you know, if I'm him, I get, young man, like, you got to think, I suppose, about the rest of your career. But it's all hands on deck, whatever you need to do to try to win this thing. Because there's no guarantee you're going to be back here ever again. Like, look at Milwaukee. Like, they're going to be in the mix, sure, as long as they have Giannis. But, you know, winning another chip, like, there's no guarantee to that. You're here. You're up 1-0. You got to play as much as possible. And even if that means, you know, hindering the rest of your career, maybe you're not the same player because you're out there, you're forcing it, and you hurt yourself. I mean, easy for me to say, I suppose, but I would like to think that Rob Williams also has that same mentality. Like, I'll put the rest of my career in longevity at risk just so I can play in this series. Do we have Gasper?
I believe we do. Chris,
yes.
Hey,
hello.
There he is. All right.
Hi.
Via Zoom. This is nice and clear.
Yes, via Zoom. Once I got my laptop to work, we're good to go.
Well, good morning there, sleepyhead. How are you?
Good, good. How's it going, Jim?
Excellent. So you're all settled in, ready to cover game 2. Give me some of your thoughts out of game 1. I mean, look, it's been a minute. I didn't do the show with you last week. The fact they're even here, the fact that series with Miami went 7 games, it shouldn't have come to this, but they're here. They're up 1-0. Just some off the top thoughts from you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, just starting with game 1, obviously, you know, I think they sort of caught the Warriors by surprise. I think the Warriors looked at it and said, okay, you know, we put these guys down 12 after 3 quarters. They're just going to roll over like everybody else does. And obviously they haven't paid close enough attention to the Celtics. If there's one thing about the Celtics, they tend to do their best, you know, work when their backs are against the wall. And a lot of times in these games, when they're down, they either come back or they make it close. And they just hit the Warriors with the haymaker of a fourth quarter, the largest differential in any quarter in NBA history, 24 points. So now I think the question is, you know, did they just get Golden State's attention? Or does Golden State sort of look at this and go, oh, this is a different animal, man. Maybe we can't just, you know, sort of throw our haymakers and put these guys away. It's interesting because it's 2 teams that I think, again, you know, like to sort of get out there, throw their haymakers, preen and pose, and then just expect the other team to roll over. And neither one of those teams in this series is going to do that when they're the team that's down double digits. But I feel like both of them, when they're the team that's up double digits, are going to sort of resort to their, you know, basically preferred persona, which is like, well, our work here is done. You know, this team should just, you know, accept that they're done. So it could be a really, I think, interesting series here. The other thing I'll say too, just quickly, Jaylen Brown, like I don't feel like Jaylen Brown's getting enough credit. I know that we talk a lot about Tatum. You know, the 13 assists were nice and he made the right basketball plays and he's grown so much as a passer, Jim. And I appreciate that. But this wasn't Magic Johnson or Larry Bird dishing dimes in the NBA Finals. This was a guy passing out of double teams with guys making 25-foot jump shots. Whereas Jaylen Brown, what he did in the fourth quarter to give this team life, what he's done all playoffs long, his effective field goal percentage in the fourth quarter is the highest in the NBA in the postseason. I just feel like we don't talk about him enough. You know, everybody wants to throw flowers at Tatum's feet, rightfully so. I did it after game 7. And then, you know, there's the Marcus Smart issue. So everybody wants to throw flowers at that guy's feet the moment he walks on the court. I feel like Brown's kind of like the forgotten guy, the guy that doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that, too, because I was going to ask, and I know you wrote about Al Horford and his night in Game 1, and rightfully so. It was an awesome performance by Al. But
no doubt.
I thought that Jaylen Brown was the catalyst for that comeback and how they played in the fourth quarter. Again, it's 92-80 at the beginning of that period, and then Brown goes off and scores or assists on 14 straight points. Like, he's the guy. So there's obviously, and I get it, this happens with fans, like, it's the role players, and it's Derek White and Horford are the reason that they won that game. Like, no, it was Jaylen Brown. It's still one of your stars.
Yeah, I mean, he was huge. I mean, he jump-started them really when they needed it. And the Warriors going into that game were 10-0 in the postseason when they had built a double-digit lead at any point. So they weren't really used to anybody coming back on them like that. And Jaylen Brown took the game over. And it was sort of reminiscent to me of, I think it was game one of the Nets series, where he really did the same thing and sort of jump-started them in the fourth quarter, like made the most important baskets and got them going when maybe things were going the wrong way. And he's done that consistently, really, all postseason long. And I just feel like he's kind of not getting enough credit overall. And I even go back to in the series against Miami, where he has the 40-point game, and all anybody wants to talk about afterwards is, well, you know, he had seven turnovers. And then later on in that series, Tatum has a 30-point game with seven turnovers, and like nobody's even mentioning the turnovers. Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, I get it. His dribble's a little loose. Some of the turnovers he makes are maddening. So I understand where people are coming from. But I think with Jaylen Brown, the bar's kind of like ridiculously high for what he does. And I feel like with other guys, the bar is too low. Like the moment they step on the court or flop on the court or dive for a loose ball, it's like, wow. That's incredible. What a winning play. And it's like, if you didn't have Jaylen Brown, you're not here, period.
Oh, without a question. So I do think one of the questions surrounding this team still exists, especially after Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals and the last 3 minutes of Game 7, why they can't deal with success in some ways.
Yeah.
And so they're 2-5, Chris, after playoff wins this year of 8 or more points. And, you know, that's Game 1. So kick them when they're down doesn't seem to be an instinct of this team, or you've said like they just don't know how to deal with success. So how do you look at tomorrow night's game? I mean, is it going to be kind of more of the same, unfortunately?
Unfortunately, I think so, because I think you're going to get a desperate Warriors team. I think you're going to see the Warriors come out, you know, with their best punch. And the Celtics, I think sometimes they sort of feel like, you know, hey, we flexed on them. Like, we're good. We flexed. They know what we can do. Like, they should just realize they're not the better team or they're beaten. And I think that's a psychological thing. Maybe it's just sort of the hubris of youth. I don't know exactly what it is, but I do worry about that heading into game two. Or that they're going to have the attitude, Jim, of, okay, you know, we're down 15. No big deal. We came back against them in game one. You know, these deficits don't matter. Like, you don't want to make a habit of getting down double digits to the Golden State Warriors on the road in the NBA Finals. Yes, you were able to win game one in scintillating fashion. Yes, you dominated that fourth quarter in historic fashion, but you don't want to put yourself in these. I think this is one team, especially because the Warriors are, relative to the other teams the Celtics have faced in the playoffs, at full composition. You don't want to put yourself in these positions against this team and think that you're going to be able to just come back the same way you did against some of the other teams leading up to this point consistently in this series.
Couple open lines. You want to join us? I'm here. Chris in San Francisco. It's a bi-coastal show. How about that? 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals thus far, with the Celtics leading 1-0 and game two on tap for tomorrow night. More of the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up next.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Three, got it.
With Gaspard Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters, but they combined for, what, 15 out of 8? Where's Smart? 7, 8, 15 for 23. My math right? 8, 7, and 8. 8, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's 23, right? Yeah. 15 for 23 from those guys, eh, you know, so be fine.
Draymond Green, great for content in many ways. You know, I think he's, for the most part, very entertaining. It's good for us to talk about. He's a very quotable pro athlete. And so I don't think he believes in the sustainability of the shooting prowess of the Boston Celtics, especially by some of their role players. It's also stemmed, Chris. It's the Sports Up Celtics show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper from San Francisco today. I don't know if you've seen this meme that's now floating around. It's amazing, especially with this show and us usually making the occasional Simpsons reference. There's this meme of, say the line, Bart. You know that scene when he becomes, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So it's everyone in the class. And it's, Milhouse wearing a Brooklyn Nets hat. The nerd kid has a Bucks hat on. One of the other characters has a Heat hat on. And they say the line, Bart. And Bart's there with a Warriors hat and says, the Celtics can't shoot like this forever. So I just retweeted it. But it's great because, everyone keeps saying this. Like, we were saying it on Felger and Maz. Like, it's not sustainable. Well, I mean, if this thing were to stretch out over 7 games or just look at the Bucks series or the Heat series, for 4 games, it is. So I think you can add Draymond Green to the list, long list of people that have thought, the Celtics can't shoot like this forever. Well, not every game, but can they do it 4 out of 7? Yeah, they can.
Yeah, and if you look at the playoffs as a whole, they're number 2 in the playoffs in terms of highest percentage of points off the three-pointer at 38.5. The only team that used it more was Dallas, the team that Golden State just played and beat in the Western Conference Finals. They're at 44.5. So if any team should know that there's a team that can be this reliant upon the three-pointer and be able to incorporate it into their offense, I mean, it should be Golden State, seeing what the Mavericks did in terms of just keep on taking them. So we've seen the Celtics have success with the three-point shot in the playoffs. I mean, they have, a game with 22 threes they've made. They have games with 20 threes. This game was 21 threes. So at this point, I'm not sure that you can sit there and say it's not sustainable for them, particularly when they generate the looks that they do. When Al Horford's going to shoot the way he shot from three in the postseason, which is better than 43%. Like, how many games do you need to see at this point? I mean, you're looking at a Celtics team that has now played, 19 games? So now you're going to say all of a sudden they're going to fall off? No, I understand where Draymond's coming from, but if I'm Draymond Green, I'd concentrate more on my own missed shots than predicting other people are going to miss shots. How about you not go 2 for 12? How about you not shoot 0 for 4? I got to say, I think Draymond Green is one of the great overrated athletes in professional sports.
Oh, Chris, I'm with you.
He is great for content, but man, he thinks he's Magic Johnson. As I tweeted to you, he's closer to Amir Johnson.
Yeah, he's definitely more bark than bite, and especially in a game like Game 1. So fine, 11 rebounds, and he had 5 assists, but you mentioned 4 of 12, 2 of 8 on 2s, 0 for 4 on 3s. And not only that, those 3s, and credit to the Celtics in the way that they've defended it. They're fine with him taking those, and as they should be. This is my thing. On the Warriors and watching that, do they have enough, Chris? So, I was real interested in watching Klay Thompson in this game, and I have only watched, bits and pieces, mostly in totality. The only games I've really watched the Warriors are some of the games against Memphis, one of which happened to be Game 6. It's the closeout game, and Klay Thompson looks like vintage Klay Thompson. He goes off 30 points. It was insane. But other than that, I keep reading, going into the series, according to the nerds, in terms of some of the defensive metrics, Klay Thompson's actually been a liability defensively for the Warriors. Got to use the nerd voice because it's the nerds. And I'm like, I got to take this with a grain of salt. It's these people and these metrics that are just probably don't even make any sense. But I don't know. He didn't really look that great on both ends on game one. So maybe I get what they're talking about here. And so if he's going to have an out like that, and the Celtics are going to shoot close to the way that they did, or even if it's just flipped, so they don't, maybe they don't, some of their role players aren't hitting threes at the rate that they were, but Tatum then wakes up. I can understand why, the likes of Mike Hawley looked at this series and they're like, yeah, no, the Celtics are going to win this in, 5 games, guys. The Warriors don't have enough, and they might not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, again, you don't want to overreact to one game. To me, the swing player is Jordan Poole, because Jordan Poole sort of you know, a junior partner splash brother, right? He's earned that this year. And I thought he was really ineffective in game one. It wasn't just the 2 for 7, the 9 points. It was the 4 turnovers. The Celtics really seemed to dog him and get him to turn the ball over. And he never looked comfortable. 1 for 5 from 3. If Jordan Poole steps up and suddenly plays the way he played during the regular season, during most of the playoffs, then the Warriors definitely have enough. Because like Andrew Wiggins has become good. And I know Andrew Wiggins made the All-Star team this year and people kind of laughed and they thought he shouldn't have made it and it was a campaign and all this other stuff. But he's become a pretty good player. I mean, he's honestly better at this point than Harrison Barnes ever was for them. So if you get Jordan Poole to step up as well, then all of a sudden, I think you do have enough offense if you're the Warriors. But if the Celtics defense is able to harass Jordan Poole and render him just sort of, you know, a run-of-the-mill role guy instead of a guy who looks like, again, he basically is a splash brother in training, then that changes the entire complexion of the series. And I'm with you. I'm like, does Golden State have enough at that point? I'm also going to throw a little sort of shade here at Steve Kerr. I didn't like the way he ran his rotations in game one. It seemed like he was treating it like a regular season game. It's like, okay, well, now Steph's going to sit for these like 4 minutes.
Thank you.
Like the guy lit it up in the first quarter, and then they sit him for, you know, a good chunk of the second. And the same thing, like you get a 12-point lead after 3 quarters. Well, you know, Steph will sit for the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. What are you doing? Like, if you want to win this series against the Celtics, Steph Curry needs to play like 42 minutes a night or you're not going to win.
Yeah, B-Rob mentioned it earlier because I asked him that. I was like, you know, with as on fire as he was on the first, like, do you second guess when he got set? Like, I know, like, you got to, they can't play every single minute unless you're maybe Jimmy Butler, but I don't know. It is the finals. It's all hands on deck. Throw everything that you can at the wall, right? So I thought that he iced him out. I'm with you. And B-Rob said, you know, he was almost like too rigid, whereas, again, look at how Udoka handled the fourth quarter. Like, you're right, Chris. Like, Steve Kerr, I think, has to be second guessing himself for how he handled that rotationally in game one.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, again, you know, you just treat it like it's a normal game or even a normal playoff game. No, this is the NBA finals. And I think this goes back to something that, you know, we all dealt with, myself certainly for a long time earlier in the season, which was not fully buying into the Celtics, not giving the Celtics full credit. I still think Golden State was there before the first game of the series. I think they were like, look, these guys play hard, nice little team. They have a lot of, you know, weapons, but they're not really on our level. And I think game one was a wake up call for them.
All right. I promise I see you all lined up. We'll get to your calls, your thoughts on the Celtics and Warriors series with the Celtics leading one game tonight in the NBA Finals. Game two tomorrow night, 617-779-0985. As soon as someone drops off, we'll get you on. But we'll get to those calls coming up next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Today.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, how did the fish grease them?
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Boston Celtics went on a 17-0 run and outscored the Golden State Warriors on the Warriors' turf, 40-16 in the fourth quarter, with Jason Tatum being a facilitator, having 13 assists, but clearly not on his game offensively in terms of shooting the ball, and they still won because of Horford's shooting, because of Derek White's shooting, because of Marcus Smart shooting, and Jaylen Brown was unstoppable, which is a bad, bad sign because somebody in the past named Klay Thompson used to be able to at least help contain somebody of that magnitude. Wasn't able to do that tonight. Styles make fights, and the Boston Celtics showed, excuse me, they are the team to be reckoned with. They are no joke.
ESPN Stephen A. Smith, very bullish on the Celtics after game one. Big win over the Golden State Warriors with that enormous fourth quarter. Again, your final 120, 108 over the Warriors in Game 1, Game 2 tomorrow night. Sports Up Celtics show, Jim Murray and Chris Gasper out in San Francisco. Your calls at 617-779-0985. We'll go to Max in the truck. Max, you're first up here on the Sports Up Celtics show this afternoon. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Murray, Gasper, and B-Rob? So, quick thing. I'm glad that Ime Udoka stuck with Derek White and Peyton Pritchard and kept Marcus Smart on the bench. I thought that was a huge, huge coaching move by him, because Game 7, Marcus Smart was jacking up threes and missing, and I'm glad that he kept them on the bench and he didn't give away the game. Go Celtics, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Max. Chris, the floor is yours.
Well, Smart actually had a decent game. You know, it's funny, though. It reminds me when I used to cover the Patriots, because Smart came in and played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter, and he hit two threes. And it reminded me when I used to cover the Patriots, and Junior Seau used to get credited for all these tackles where, like, the guy was already down. And this is the late Junior Seau, may he rest in peace. And he just jump on the pile, and then they give him like half a tackle. And to me, that's what happened in the fourth quarter of this one when Smart came in and hit like the 2-3. It's like, you know, what is it? I think speaking of the Simpsons, isn't there something where they're like, he's already dead?
Yeah.
Like that was Marcus Smart, like, coming in there. And I will say, I know you guys talked about it a little bit yesterday. I too give Ime credit for sticking with Derek White. Because I feel like Brad Stevens would have felt the urge to put Marcus Smart in that game because he was itching to get back in. And one shot where, like, White hits the three, I think, to tie the game, and there's like a golf clap and then the arms folded. I mean, it's just, you know, the guy is a winning player. I certainly appreciate it. But I think that people conflate two things. They conflate somebody who on the court makes all these unselfish plays, diving on the floor, taking charges, with meaning that person is selfless off the court. There was nobody who was more selfish than Dennis Rodman. And Dennis Rodman made all these same plays, but Dennis Rodman was the ultimate look at me guy. But on the court, he did all the dirty work, all the unselfish things, the rebounds, diving on the floor, diving for balls, taking charges. So I just want to say, like, this notion that just because you are an unselfish player on the court and do all the dirty work, that you have no ego at all, off the court or from a personality standpoint, is false.
Yeah, I think people turn a blind eye to it or stick their heads in the sand, whatever you want to say, because I don't think we're reading too much into the body language. Smart, after Derek White hits that dagger three where everyone's threes in the air, like, yeah, look, going nuts on the bench, and he's like, man, I should be in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And so is that potentially problematic, Chris? Is there... you know, is now maybe for game two that Marcus Smart's going to take it more on himself to be like, well, now it's my time to shine and I got to shoot more or something like that? Or does, with the way that Ime Udoka handled that fourth quarter and that he did come up and, you know, he's already dead and, you know, was hitting shots in mop up duty. It's not like he completely went out there and was pouting and quit.
No,
does he have a handle on it? Does Udoka have a handle on that?
I think Udoka has a unique handle on it. You know, as much of a handle as anybody who's head coach of the Celtics can have on it. You know, obviously Smart takes it seriously that he's the longest tenured guy, and there's some sort of, for lack of a better term, you know, chest puffery that comes with that. I think Ime's done a good job of handling it. And if you've listened to Ime, the last couple of series, even going back to the Milwaukee series, when White has had a good game and he's been asked about White, I feel like he's intentionally made a point of saying, well, there's not much of a drop off when we go from Marcus to Derek. And I feel like there's a message in there, basically, you know, a message for White, a message for the team, and a message for Smart that, look, you know, this is not just because you're the longest tenured guy. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to be the guy who takes us home all the time. If Derek White is having a better night, then Derek White's the guy that will ride home.
John in Charlestown, next here on the Sports Up Celtics show. Hey, John.
Thanks.
John, I'm going to put you back on hold. I don't know if you're in like a bad area or you're on like a jitterbug, but your phone stinks. I'm not going to.
That's what I thought I'd sound like when I dialed in.
I'll go back to you in a minute. Let's go to Mark in Westboro next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Mark.
On the same note of riding the hot hand home, going back to Brown being the guy that led us to the fourth quarter, can Brown step out of the way when he doesn't have the hot hand and Tatum does? And just on, like, on a larger note in general, how they showed up in that game and sort of kind of knocked knock the defending. I mean, like, the guys in the last 10 years, they knocked them off. Can they, now that they kind of smell blood, come back and be desperate and get maybe steal two here and put them, like, on the ropes?
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, Chris, just on that, too, let me piggyback on that. Is this must win for Golden State tomorrow night?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you don't want to get down 0-2. Although the interesting thing is, I mean, if the Celtics win this game tomorrow, first of all, they will tie the 1995 Rockets for the most road wins during an NBA postseason with 9. But the Celtics haven't been great at home. They've only been 5-4 at home in the postseason. So, you know, I say it's a must win for Golden State. But on the other hand, it's like, well, what if both teams just took both games on the other team's floor? I mean, I wouldn't 100% rule that out either. So, but I think for Golden State's psyche, that they need to win this game. I think if they've been undefeated, basically dominant on their home floor, you know, 9-0. Like, as I mentioned earlier, they hadn't dropped any game this postseason in which they held a double digit lead. If the Celtics kind of take both of these games from you and take your heart, I think that would be a real challenge for Golden State. And you might start to see some of that bickering you saw when, you know, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant were teammates.
Michael in Brookline next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Michael.
Good morning, guys. Or good afternoon, whatever it is.
It's both, because he's out in San Francisco, so it works.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. It does work.
Before I get to my Celtics point, I want to give Chris a restaurant to go to tonight for dinner.
Oh. Okay, writing it down.
A little. Do you like Chinese food?
I do.
Okay, House of Nanking. It's really small. It's on Kearney Street, and it's the kind of place where if you walk by it, you'd look in the window and go, yeah, I'm not eating there. But the food is phenomenal. It isn't just good. It's phenomenal. And Big Jim, I'm the one that told you about the Eagles concert.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I have a little, credibility on what's good in life.
You do.
As
long as I can get a fork. I'm not the greatest with the chopsticks.
Yeah, I don't. I can use a chopstick to pick my nose. That's about it. but it's phenomenal. It was recommended 5 times down. You know, everybody recommends it. Everybody that goes there loves it. And like I said, it's the kind of place you walk by, you go, nah, I'm good, but it's phenomenal. My Celtics point is, this series is all about effort, which is why I think they have such a great road record in the playoffs, is that when they're on the road, they feel the need to put in more effort. And when they're home, it's almost like the crowd will be the effort for them, which is why they're only 5-4 at home, which with what you said, Chris, about them both teams winning on the other team's court, if the Celtics put effort in, I think they're the better team, and I think it's going to go maybe 5. But if they don't put the effort in at home, this is going to come down to 2-2, and it's going to be a 3-game series with Golden State having the home court.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate the recommendations as well.
Yes,
so what is
you.
That with some of those home losses, too? Again, so we haven't talked, Chris, in a while. Like, that game 6 of the prior series is – I was, like, offended. I really was. I was like and if they lose this – series, we're looking at maybe the biggest choke job by any team in this city over the last couple of decades, and congratulations Bruins of 2019, you'd be off the hook. But they didn't, but boy, they looked like they wanted to. Like, they handled that game so poorly, and then that last 3 minutes of game 7 too, which
was mostly
on Smart. But yeah, what is it? Is it a lack of focus thing, lack of energy? Like, I don't know. I don't know if any of us have the answer, but how they played at home during this run is kind of nuts.
It is. I mean, I think it's overconfidence. And I think sometimes you are a reflection of who some of your leaders are. And I think that, you know, you have some younger guys who sort of feel like they've arrived at times, and it's like, okay, I've shown you what I can do. You see what I can do. So, like, you get it, right? Like, I'm better than you. This game's over. And they don't expect the pushback, and it's overestimating and sort of overinflating, you know, just how good you are at times. And it's not just Smart, although I think he's a big part of that, but it's the other guys who are leaders too. It's Brown and Tatum. And I think that's part of the personality of the team. I thought one of the most telling comments for the Celtics all postseason was Jaylen Brown, who's normally very, I would say, cool, measured, and frankly, almost Kobe-like calculated, you know, early in Kobe's career at the podium postgame. Like Jaylen Brown gives you kind of like a lot of platitudes, a lot of like life lessons. You know, sometimes you feel like you're listening to the Calm app. But they got him right after game 7, and it was genuine. And he said, you know, we always make it really hard. I hate that about us. And it was like just honest. He's like just being honest. He's like, man, I don't know what it is, but we always have to make it really hard. And he's like, I hate that about us. So there is a realization there from these guys that it's like, man, how come we always have to wait until it's like the hardest possible route?
All right, looks like a bunch of you finally have woken up here, so we'll get to more of your calls on the Celtics. And as they get ready for game two, up one game to none of the Golden State Warriors, those calls coming up next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. And also got to get the vibe of San Francisco from Chris. I know you got in late last night, but, you know, I got to know from you like what the people are feeling already, maybe just in that hotel about the Warriors. So we'll get all that coming up next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.org. The Sports Hub Celtics show drives the lane.
Goal! Scored and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtics show. And Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jalen dribbles behind his back. Stop and start. Attacks to the elbow. And throws back out to Derek White. Pump fake. Shot clock down to two. He has to launch a tough three. And he hits it again. Derek White has tied game one. We are tied with 5:25 to go. Steph inside the free throw line. Floats it with a right hand short. Horford finally knocks the rebound away. And here come the Celtics trying to take the lead. Jalen, offensive end, finds Tatum. Leads Derek White. Attacks baseline. Derek White to the corner. Pritchard closed down by Wiggins. Kick out Horford. He's open for three. Got it.
Stomp him, stomp him. Get right back in this puppy.
Warriors have led for about 41 of the 43 minutes tonight in game one. Here's Steph Curry. Left side of the floor, Derek White has played his best game as a Celtic on the biggest stage in the biggest game of his life. Draymond Green's entry deflected by Horford and stolen by Derek White. Derek White, offensive end, bounce pass lead for Tatum. Kick out, trail three, Horford, got it!
The old man of the sea coming through, man!
The Celtics have scored 29 points in 7-plus minutes in the quarter. They have a 6-point lead, their largest of game one. Derek White, pounding. About to hit 3 minutes remaining in game one. Jaylen Brown steps into that zone, into the paint, forces it with the right hand, spins it off the glass, no good. Offensive rebound, Horford, kick out, corner three, Smart, got it!
Ooh. Talk about they getting small.
14 straight for the Celtics, coming down the stretch like thoroughbreds in their NBA Finals debut. Every one of them out there. The Celtics down 15 late in the third quarter, up by 11. They can close the show here pretty soon with a minute 48 to go. Tatum, over-the-shoulder pass. Marcus Smart, left side three. No. Good night!
What'd they say about Marcus, man? What'd they say? Stunned!
Celtics going with the flow in that big fourth quarter in their 120-108 win over the Golden State Warriors in game one of the NBA Finals. And Jaylen Brown, I think, the catalyst, 24 points in the win. Final segment of the Sports Hub Celtics show here. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, you at 617-779-0985. Before we get to your calls, just a quick question for you, Chris. With the way that that game played out, especially that fourth quarter, is, I don't know, is the battle-tested run here for the Celtics, is that more beneficial for them here in this finals against the Warriors? In other words, like those series against Milwaukee and Miami were just so brutal. They go seven games. They're getting beaten up. And on the other hand, I think you could maybe make the case that the Warriors aren't that battle-tested. Yes, they played some real stars during this run, two-time MVP in Denver, Memphis with Ja Morant before he went down, maybe the best shooter besides Curry in the game in Dallas with Luka, but they were mostly not cakewalky, but it was certainly an easier run than the Celtics. Are the Celtics better served to be battle-tested for this finals than the Warriors are showing up the way they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes some sense in terms of just the road taken was certainly more difficult for the Celtics. And I mean, you look at the Celtics overall, if they're able to pull this off and win Banner 18, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. You go through, and again, I didn't think much of the Nets, but just name recognition, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Then you beat the defending NBA champions with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know Chris Middleton wasn't there, but still you go through Giannis. Then you go through the number one seed in the Heat. And then you're going to go through the Golden State Warriors, who are, you know, looks to, I mean, ostensibly healthy. I mean, that's really earning a championship ring. So I think there's some legitimacy to what you're saying, Jim. Certainly the Celtics had a tougher road, probably had to dig a little bit deeper to get here than the Warriors.
All right, let's go to John in Charlestown, who's calling back. Had a question for Chris. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, John.
Jim, my apologies for that phone disaster. I just freaked out at the last second.
That's all good.
Chris, I got a basketball question for you. Two basketball questions. One, the terrible rebounding on both ends from the Celtics. Was that a scheme thing? Was that just they just sucked thing? And also the same thing with Jason Tatum. Was it really their defense that made him? And everybody is like backing off of saying Tatum sucked. You know, oh no, he did all the right things. He distributed, but no, he sucked. Okay, so was that a defense thing, or was it just that he sucked? And also, I think that Green comment is probably the biggest bulletin board material I've ever seen. He literally said, yeah, they're not that good.
Yeah.
We did all the right things. We're going to do the right things again, and this time they're not going to get lucky. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, definitely a lot to unpack there. In terms of the rebounding, you know, I don't know. I know under Brad Stevens, it was, you know, scheme before, and I think B-Rob can speak to this. You know, they wanted to get back in transition maybe more than they wanted to crash the offensive boards at times. They have to do it either way. They have to do a better job on Kayvon Looney. I thought with Tatum, he missed some shots he normally makes, but I did think their defense was excellent, and they were, you know, forcing him to get the ball out of his hands. And so I want to give Golden State, which is a very good defensive team. These are the top two teams in the NBA in terms of defensive rating during the regular season. I'm going to give them credit. And let's not forget, I mean, basically, outside of the Nets series, Tatum's had a clunker per series here. So it's not like it's unprecedented for him to have a clunker. He's had clunkers against Miami and clunkers against Milwaukee. It's not the end of the world there. And I do like what he said about the Draymond Green thing. And I think that's why Draymond and Marcus Smart are sort of kindred spirits, you know, just the, sort of the whole idea of like, well, yeah, we're good. Like, you know, we're fine. We just blew this big lead. Yeah. We're okay. Like, because we're us, you know.
Tommy and Lynn next year on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Tommy.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say about the Celtics. They got to, they just got to keep playing good basketball. They are a tough team. They're physical. And I liked how Ime Udoka sat Marcus Smart down and let Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams, Derek White out there. Because they need to get Derek White more and more involved. I like Derek White. And I want to know what you guys think about Derek White and Peyton Pritchard.
Thanks, Tommy. The Derek White turnaround, I asked B-Rob about this earlier, Chris. Their whole turnaround is astounding. But the Derek White one as well, because he is completely gone from a guy who's like, no, Derek, no. Like old school Marcus Smart, no, Marcus, no. Please don't shoot because I don't trust him. And I don't think he trusted himself, to a guy that's been straight up on fire the last three games. And, B-Rob said, maybe it's the new dad juice. You know, my boys can swim. You're like, you're feeling yourself. What is it with Derek White? What has happened?
I mean, honestly, this is like what Derek White was in San Antonio. I mean, this is a guy who had a 36-point playoff game on his resume.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I know people think he's some, like, role player scrub. No, he's a starting caliber NBA point guard. Before he came here, there are people that maybe would have argued he was an upgrade over Smart. It wasn't so clear that he was, like, Smart's backup. I think this is the Derek White that Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka, particularly Ime Udoka, who coached him, this is what they thought they were getting. I mean, this is a starter caliber player and a good one in the NBA. I know B-Rob knows there was a point this year where he missed 15 consecutive shots. I think his confidence has just been sort of waning for a while, and now he's finally gotten it back. Maybe it's that dad juice. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't expect him to knock down, you know, five threes every game, but this is now sort of consistent over the last two or three games where he's not only making these shots, but he's willing to take them. You know, I thought towards the end of the regular season, even early in the playoffs, you could tell, like, almost Rondo, like, he didn't want to take some of these shots. So I kind of feel like we're seeing the real Derek White, which bodes well for the Celtics, because you look at the rotation guys and they legitimately have like eight starter caliber players, like eight guys who are starter caliber performers that they can throw out there. And I don't know if there's anybody else in the NBA that can do that at this point. You know, their strength is in numbers. There's no question about it.
Yeah, from that standpoint with White, I mean, he admitted it to us, Chris, that like he was kind of tiptoeing around in the beginning of his stint here in Boston.
Gee, I wonder why.
Right? I know. So there might be some strong personalities on this team that feel very strong in what their role was. But when you factor that in with the missed shots, with the slump he was in, I think it was like the perfect storm of him, you know, like you said, turning into a little bit Rondo-like in terms of moving away from the shot now. But I think something clicked in that Heat series. He's obviously comfortable within himself now. And against this Warriors team that just does not have a lot of strong backcourt defenders between Curry and Poole, like White can obviously take advantage of it, and that's what we saw in game one.
Chris, before we let you go, and you get to go, carouse the streets of San Francisco, what is the vibe out there so far? I know you got in late, but is there a real Warriors buzz?
There is a real Warriors buzz, and I'd say there's real Warriors worry at this point. I think we're respectful of the Celtics, but they're kind of shell-shocked just like their team. That's not what they expected. And they sort of were expecting that once the Warriors start to do Warriors things, have a vintage Warriors third quarter, that the Celtics would fight back, but not be able to just completely overwhelm their team like that. So there's like legitimate concern now. I was talking to a guy last night in the hotel, and he already was like all out on Jordan Poole. He's basically like, this guy's overrated. He can't, this guy who was basically averaging 18 points per game in the playoffs. And they're basically saying like, I don't think you do anything in this series. So, I mean, there's a little bit of panic here that what's that Mike Tyson thing? Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what's gone on here. I think they thought the series would go a very specific way. And I think if anything, what's stunning the Warriors fans here is the Celtics firepower. I think they knew the Celtics were a good defensive team, but I don't think they thought the Celtics had the offensive firepower. And they're looking at it and saying, well, we thought this was like last series with Luka. Like if we just stop the head of the snake, we're going to win. And they're like, but we did that and we blew a double digit lead and got blown out. So they're shell shocked here.
All right. Well, fare thee well, my friend. Enjoy tomorrow night. What's on tap the rest of the day? What are you going to do?
I have to figure out where this practice is and go to it. I'm assuming it's at Chase Center. And, other than that, maybe a little shopping. I'm not too far from the shopping here.
Is this your first time there since when you did that Hell Super Bowl, the Denver-Carolina
one? It is. It is my first time since then, yeah.
Is it grosser?
I came in at night, Jim, so I really don't have a chance to – I haven't had a chance to – it seems a little quieter. I mean, I'd heard all kinds of things about this city being affected by the pandemic. And so I will say it does seem like things aren't open as late and some of the service industries have been hit. It was really hard to find some food last night. The hotel doesn't do room service anymore. It was a Friday night. The bar closed at the hotel bar because I tried to get food closed at midnight. It seems like things aren't open as late as they used to be. I don't know. I don't have a real, I'll try and hit the streets today and get a feel for what San Francisco's like post-pandemic.
Right. I'd like a full report. You can text it to me later.
I will. You will get that.
All right, Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe out there covering game two, and I guess we'll talk to you next week for Felger and Mazel and safe travels and all that good stuff.
Sounds good, Jim.
All right, Chris Gasper again of the Boston Globe here for the Sports Hub Celtics show this hour, but he's out there covering game two, so you just get me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.